Welcome to the Dr. Bros, where we have an honest discussion around vet life in and out of the clinic. My name is Adam. I'm your doc of the day and your guide through this episode. I'm here with my closest friends from vet school.
Hey, this is Chris. I'm a GP in North Carolina.
Hey, this is Jeff. I just finished my derm residency and I'm working as an associate vet here in Louisville, Kentucky.
And again, I am Adam. I am a relief veterinarian in Louisville, Kentucky. And today we are welcoming back a guest of ours. She is a 2020 graduate of Tuskegee University, where she developed a love for ophthalmology. After graduation, she pursued a small animal rotating internship at Blue Pearl in Tampa, Florida, where she also discovered her love for emergency and critical care medicine. While practicing emergency medicine for a year, she continued to shadow multiple ophthalmologists and eventually moved into her current role as an ophthalmology intern. Her interests include feline and exotic ophthalmology, as well as glaucoma management. Outside of the clinic, you can find her baking delicious desserts in her kitchen, at a cat cafe, or on a hike with her cat, Khaleesi. Please welcome Dr. Christina Kay.
Thank you, guys. It's wonderful to be back.
And we're happy to have you back. So to start things off, as always, we're going to have just a little fun question for us here. So the question that I have posed for you guys today is, would you rather get free plane tickets or free accommodations for the rest of your life?
That's a tough one because I would definitely love to travel and go anywhere in the world, but also I can definitely be a little bougie where I want to stay. But if I had to pick, it would probably be the airplane tickets, because I feel like those are definitely super expensive nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And this is Jeff. I would actually go with the accommodations, after deep thought, because I'm fairly savvy about finding a decent plane ticket, and I have a travel credit card, and I do my points, and you can use some of those for hotels too. But I'm fairly good about getting a decent plane ticket wherever I'm trying to go. So I want to stay for free. I want drinks when I get there off of the plane. I want like concierge service. I'm hoping that includes some like land travel when we get there. Like I want all the little bougie things that come along with staying at a really nice place.
Hey, this is Chris. I agree 100% with JT. I think I can find tickets pretty cheap. Even if we're going with the entire family, I can make it work. But if I can get accommodations, that's key. Especially because then we have, just a bigger room or a bigger place to stay with all the kids and everything and be more relaxed instead of on a budget. So, yeah, I'm all about the accommodations, be more bougie with it.
This is Adam, and I would have to go with the accommodations as well. I will pay for a plane ticket, but give me the penthouse. Give me the bungalow out on the ocean by itself.
Ooh, yeah.
Give me what, the best that money can buy. So I have to go with the accommodations.
It's a win-win question, honestly.
Yes.
It really is, if only, right?
I mean, what I gathered from that is that I need to hit you guys up for, how you guys be booking your flights. That's what I got.
All right. So on today's episode, we are going to be diving in, talking a little bit on a little bit more of a serious topic, and we're going to be talking about veterinarians with disabilities. So last time when we had Dr. K on, she had mentioned that she does have some visual impairments. And when I found out that I was going to be the doc of the day, we kind of talked on this before we started recording. I was chatting with her a little bit and told her that I actually also have a visual impairment. I have ocular albinism, which does affect my vision even with corrective lenses. So we were kind of touching on similarities there, but I found it really interesting from the last time we talked how she took the challenges that she had and she flipped it to use as good, to use in her journey through ophthalmology. So my first question for you in particular, Christina, is what challenges have you faced throughout your veterinary career in regards to your visual impairment?
So, ironically, when I first started, I didn't really even know how to go about it, because in veterinary school, you have to fill out all this paperwork, and legally they have to provide you with it. And honestly, I didn't even think of that to transition into, veterinary medicine as a career. So when I first started, there were some things I was struggling with to see, even something as simple as some of the labels. I was like, wow, this is really tiny. So they actually, after I sat down with my rotating internship HR department, we kind of went through all the things, and they gave me appropriate accommodations. But just kind of making that jump, saying, just because I needed it in vet school doesn't mean I don't need it as a veterinarian, and coming to terms with that and saying, all right, no, this is something that can help me be a better veterinarian.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad, again, that you really persevered there and found ways to push through and find ways to overcome the challenges that you faced along with that. So this is kind of posed to everybody, all of us working in the field. What other common disabilities have you guys encountered with veterinarians or veterinary staff within the field of veterinary medicine?
So I've encountered, people that, I had a surgeon that was missing a hand. Even now that we're moving more towards, mental health awareness, they're considering that actually a form of a disability, where you can get accommodations for that, even in veterinary school as well. And I think that's definitely one of the more common ones that we see in veterinary medicine.
This is Jeff. I guess I can mention two things here. So not necessarily a staff or vet professional, but I recall, I've had several clients who have been in wheelchairs or something where a very obvious visual disability where there's a chance for you to help. And fortunately, the clinics I was working at, including mine now, we have ramps, what was helpful for them. So things where you can obviously be of use and just opening doors and being helpful. And we currently have whiteboards in our clinic. So more than just talking, I like that I can write down my recommendations really briefly or diagnoses and make it more clear. I can make it bigger if there's something that is too small, that's something I can communicate. But I think I appreciate, and when people are able to be advocates for themselves or let me know what's going on, because of course there's always if there's a disability that I cannot see and a client brings that to me, or of course a staff member, I'm trying to be receptive and see how can I be helpful to you, or what can I change to be helpful. And I think that's really important. And then the second case I was going to mention was, this isn't specific to clients, but more on the vet side. When I took my boards exam, when this comes out, it'll probably be a few months ago, but there was an option that I really appreciated, even though I don't have a disability, but to take extra time during the exam, up to double time. So there are people, we took it on a Friday. There are people taking it all of Friday and most of Saturday. So there was at least option for other people, because I know that there's people out there who have learning disabilities or whatever is going on, where you just, you're a great doctor, but you just need a little bit more time to be able to show what you can do. And I just really liked that there were options for accommodations during our tests.
Yeah, this is Chris. So for disabilities that I've seen or been associated with, typically the ones I've seen is the ones with people with hearing impairments. Those are the ones that I commonly see. We have some people with in wheelchairs, and we do accommodate those. Actually, our clinic now has expanded, and we have the bathrooms are handicap accessible. So that's the building aspect of things. But for people with hearing impairments, I write everything down for them and try to go over it slowly. I know I have an elderly client He's got hearing aids, but he still doesn't hear very well. And he's the sweetest guy. And even though we're like having the, I'm yelling and I'm not wanting to get loud, but I feel like I have to yell at him. We started just writing it down for him, just to make it easier on him. And he loves it. And he's all about just us writing it down for him. So, that's the biggest one. I've also, I remember in vet school, they talked about, vets with hearing impairments trying to do cardio, where they had the stethoscope that you can put up and it actually gives you the readout for you. I thought that's kind of the cool thing now that, cool. We couldn't do that 30, 40 years ago, but now we have, the stethoscope that can give you the readings in the room and then they can still do a full physical exam without that impairment.
That's really awesome. So talking about veterinarians and veterinary staff with disabilities, so what are some resources that people with disabilities can reach out to for help and assistance?
Usually your HR department is well-diversed in that, or well-versed rather in that department. It's not really something in veterinary school they kind of teach you or talk about, you know, if you have any issues, kind of, hey, go to HR. So that they should definitely be your primary resource. Of course, you know, researching about the ADA Act as well, definitely can help you out. And sometimes you even need to go to a medical professional because you may not even know you have a learning disability or, you know you have a disability in general. Cause like you said, some of them you can't see. So, you know, somebody with dyslexia, honestly, they may just be like, this is normal. This is how I read. And then, you know, hearing it from other people, they're like, hey, that's not really what that word is, you know? So then that kind of triggers, hey, let me go investigate this. You know, maybe I have dyslexia, maybe I have something else going on. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out to medical professionals as well.
And from a clinic owner / manager standpoint, what are things that clinics could be doing to better accommodate their staff with disabilities?
I think the first step is communication. So making the work environment a welcoming environment, to where you can communicate to your manager, you know, or your clinic owner about, hey, you know, I'm having this problem. You know, it's similar to, you know, somebody without a disability, you know, trying to go to your clinic owner about, you know, some kind of dispute you're having, even with a colleague. You know, you want to be able to effectively communicate that. So I think that's where it starts. And then, of course, you sitting down with them and just saying, hey, you know, at my other clinic, this is what we did. You know, of course, it's, you know, based off of the individual and the disability, but I think that's definitely a great start.
Is there anything, Chris and JT, anything, and I know you've kind of touched on these a little bit, but anything that you've seen that your clinics have done to kind of help accommodate people with disabilities? One thing that I've seen at some clinics that I've worked at, and it's mainly corporate clinics, is clients who are deaf or hard of hearing, they'll provide a interpreter or translator for them. So there's somebody on the phone, you talk to the person on the phone, they type things out, or they're even on face chat with the person and they're signing to them to communicate and kind of be that bridge between. So are there things that you guys have seen in your clinics that are just there to help people with disabilities?
Well, you took my first one because I think that's so cool with the technology that we have now. Like, you can get an iPad and have that virtual option. You can even do that in situations where you need translators for other, for if there's a language barrier. We have a larger room, which is used sometimes for larger dogs, but our largest room is where we're going to put anybody who has a wheelchair. Like, if you need wheelchair access, like, we have a space for that, which I like. So that was kind of built into the plan when we designed, well, I didn't personally design the clinic, but I know that that was a part of the clinic thought, since our building is only, I think, 2 or 3 years old, which I appreciate. Our exam tables also move up and down. So if you need more space for that reason, I can literally push that out of the way as far as physical things. If you have equipment or anything that you need help with, that's just a part of your day to day, we can accommodate a lot of those things. It's also very easy. So we do a lot of typed up discharges. If I need to make the font bigger, that's extremely easy. Type that out, send it to you. We can email things quite easily. So little things like that. I'm sure we could absolutely do more. Those are just a couple of things that we can offer off the top of my head.
This is Chris. Yeah, I mean, JT, we have this kind of the same things. Like our clinic add an addition to it. So our three new exam rooms are big enough where we can have wheelchairs come in there. So it does make it easier. We have the folding exam table. So again, that's another thing. Just, hey, we need more space. We have it. The big thing that I would say too, with, you kind of mentioned it, was a translator. So it's not an impairment or disability or anything like that, but it's more just a language barrier. Now today with technology, with Google Translate, you can literally have an entire conversation back and forth and figure out the issues so much quicker with just Google Translate. And it's been awesome. I've used that a handful of times now. And instead of just trying to use hand signals to make, to get an interpretation of what you're doing, you're now able to type it in English, and then whatever language that they speak, they can understand it, and then they can type it in their language, and then I can read it too. And it's just, it's awesome. It's pretty crazy how that's worked now. So, and then also we try to send home any type of like disease or process that we diagnose, we try to send them home with the translation of what that disease is, like parvo or, glaucoma, whatever it is. We can do Google Translate and it'll translate the entire document for us. And then you can send that with the client, and that helps out a lot. And even with preventatives, like, hey, this is what heartworm prevention is. This is what flea and tick prevention is. And just being able to translate it, that's kind of the cool thing. Again, that's not a disability thing. That's more of a language barrier thing, but still, that's kind of a cool thing with technology now.
Christina, you had mentioned earlier about the ADA. I was wondering if you could kind of go into a little bit about what that is and what that provides.
So it's basically federal law that just basically, you know, it states that you cannot be discriminated against in the workplace, and the workplace is required to help you out if you disclose a disability. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. But you can definitely look it up. It's a whole big document. When I did some research about, you know, service animals and therapy animals, I did a lot of research on it. But it's basically, I believe it's the American Disability Act, and it's basically so that they don't get discriminated against.
And just one more question here to help wrap things up. This again is kind of for all of us to answer, and it's just how we as a veterinary community can help to advocate for people with disabilities working within the field.
So I think it's really important for people that have disabilities to speak up. Because if, you know, it's that kind of mentality of, oh, okay, this person, you know, is willing to share their story, you know, and I see that they got the help they needed. Because even in vet school, I had, you know, classmates that were afraid to speak up. And then, you know, they were upset because they weren't doing well on exams, or they weren't doing well in the clinic because they needed help. And, you know, in vet school, I was a huge advocate for, you know, disabilities. And I helped a lot of the classmates I had with accommodations already just kind of advocate for themselves, you know, because there would be times where sometimes an accommodation wasn't followed through appropriately. And so you have to speak up about that. You know, I mean, the same thing goes in the workplace. You know, if you are provided an accommodation and it is not working for you, you need to speak up about it, because at the end of the day, like you said earlier, you're a good doctor. You just need a little more assistance. So I think, sharing your story definitely helps. And even I mentor a lot of people in vet medicine that have disabilities to kind of make sure that, you know, things are appropriate in their workplace as well.
Yeah, and this is Jeff, and I would just say to piggyback and echo, like, I think all those things like Christina is mentioning are extremely important, and especially for if you have a disability that we can't see, something that's not visible, like especially mental health issues or something that you're going through physically that's just not overtly obvious, I guess it's really helpful. And I hope anybody who's listening, like if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. Cause I think communication is key and helps us grow, helps me grow, cause I'm learning every day. So I think that's super important. And then if somebody has an obvious disability, if you can simply again communicate and say, is there anything else or is there anything that we can do in our clinic to make your visit easier? Do you need anything that we can help you with? And it doesn't have to be this overly, what do I want to say, like coming from a savior complex, I guess, situation where you're just like fawning over somebody or, you know, making it this big event, but you can just like be calm and treat everybody with respect and just ask them, you know, treat them like they're anybody else, I think is extremely important because we're all people. We're all going through different things in our life. Everybody has a different story. So you can just be, I don't know how better to say it, just be normal and just ask like you would someone making small talk with anybody else. Hey, is there anything that I can help you with to make your visit easier here? And if they don't need help, perfect. And you'll continue as you were. And if they want your help, great. Be as helpful as you can and do what you can.
Yeah, that's great. And this is Chris. I don't have anything really more to add. That's, you guys pretty much summed up everything. I mean, just be a helpful person when you can, and definitely on the other end, just communicate. I think that's the big thing is people get upset sometimes and it's like, well, it's just lack of communication. I think if you can communicate, it kind of, that solves a lot of the issues, is just appropriate communication.
I think those are obviously great points. Yeah, obviously looking out for those opportunities to step in and help when you can. But again, I think, Christina, I think you said it best at the beginning, is you got to advocate for yourself. So if you need help, don't be scared to ask. You know, we all need help sometimes. So if you're in that situation, seek the help you need. So thank you so much again for coming on with us again. Well, it was a pleasure having you again. Is there anywhere where we can find you on socials?
So of course I have a LinkedIn. It's just Christina K DVM. And then I have an Instagram. I'm usually really active on my Instagram. You'll see some weird eye cases, but also some cool pictures of my animal family. And that's, it's Future and then Optho. So OPHTHO Doctor DOGTOR 917. And there's definitely some really cool and interesting eye stuff on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for listening to the Dr. Bros. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you listen to your podcast. It would also help us out if you could share this episode with others who may be interested in today's topic. You can also tell us what you want to hear. You can drop suggestions in the comments or shoot us an email at thedrbros@gmail.com, or you can DM us at thedrbros on Instagram. You can find me personally on Instagram at Dr. Adam DVM. That's DRADAMDVM.
Hey, this is Chris. You can find me on Instagram at Dr.ChrisHernandez. That's Dr.ChrisHernandez, ChrisHernandez.
And this is Jeff. You can find me on TikTok or Instagram at DermDrJeff, DermDogTorJeff.